I shall not bear the cross through yon city when the burdens of life are laid down and every cross that I bear will be forgotten when I trade the old cross for a crown. I will trade the old cross for a crown when the burdens of life are laid down, when those pearly gates for me shall swing open. I will trade the old cross for a crown. Every cross that I bear for my Savior will at last someday when he calls me lay down. And all my sorrows will then be forgotten when I trade the old cross for a crown. I will trade the old cross for a crown when the burdens of life are laid down, when those pearly gates for me shall swing open. I will trade the old cross for a crown. I will trade the old cross for a crown.
Appreciate the good song this morning. Appreciate Brother Colin for leading and Sister Faye for playing the piano and Brother Mike for the song. I have said it time and time again, but I still believe it as much today as I ever have, that Mount Calvary is very talented, got a lot of wonderful singers and piano players and people that want to serve the Lord and love the Lord, and I'm thankful for that this morning. As we come together to worship, we should all have a mind and a heart to worship, and I'm thankful that this church does, and I'm thankful for that song. Someday I'll lay the old cross down for a crown, and then when he gives me the crown, I hope you'll be able to take it back off and just toss it at his feet and say, Lord, that's yours. I don't deserve that crown, but you do. And someday I'll get to leave this old world behind, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, you will too. I'm thankful for that this morning. Would there be another word or anything on your heart this morning before we go any further? If not, we do have a thought upon our heart. If you'll get your Bibles with us this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13th chapter in the 4th verse. And we'll start with the 3rd verse, I guess. 2 Corinthians 13th chapter and 3rd verse. It says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. And our thought this morning would come from the 5th verse. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And our thought this morning would come in the form of a question that I would like each and every person to ask themselves this morning. And that question would be, am I saved? Am I saved? And then I want to go a little bit farther and I want to ask the question, how can I know that I'm saved? And I think that Paul was talking to the Corinthian church here, and he told them, he said, I have visited you before, and I have told you many things, and I've visited again, and now this time I write, and I want to write concerning this thing. And I want you to examine yourselves this morning, and even if you've been saved for 70 years, I want you to go back to the place where God saved your soul. We as old-time missionary Baptists, we believe in a time and a place where God saves a soul. Not necessarily that we know the exact time on a clock or the exact date that God saved our soul. I can tell you this morning that I don't know the date on a calendar when God saved me. I don't know the time when God saved me. But I do know the place where God saved my soul. And I believe that I could take you all there today. If we had the time and the ability, I could take you to the exact spot where God took me from nature to grace. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got a time and a place where God saved your soul. Amen. There's not a one of us today that have been saved that doesn't have a time and a place where God dealt with us, drew us to an altar, we poured our hearts out before God, repented of our sins, had faith, believing that God would save us, and then He saved us. There's a time and a place in everybody's life when you become accountable for your sins. And we call that time an accountability, an age of accountability, where you know right from wrong, where you are no longer covered by God, where you no longer are safe in Him, where you must repent of your sins and be saved. You've got to do that to ever go to heaven. We sang that song about, I'll lay my cross down for a crown. If you want to lay that cross down, if you want to go to heaven someday after a while, you've got to be saved. Amen. And there are a lot of people this morning that you could have went anywhere and you could have heard a multitude of things. You could have heard somebody step out in front of a pulpit and say, if you'll just accept Christ, you'll be saved. Oh, how wrong they are this morning. There is no accepting the Lord this morning because God has to accept you. God has to accept me the night that I bowed before Him because I had nothing to offer Him. He'd already gave His Son so that I could live. He had to accept me and accept that I was sorry for everything that I had ever done because there was nothing good about me. He was telling them here in Corinthians, Paul was. He said, you want to know if God is in me? You have asked that I would show you that God lives within my heart. And I preached last Sunday about living in these troubled times and how we are to live in front of other people and how we're supposed to go about in front of other people and showing them our lives and how we treat them. But I want you to know and understand this morning that you can do a multitude of good works, but that will never get you to heaven. You can do everything that I talked about last Sunday. You can do it with everything that's within you, but that will never get you to heaven. That will not save anybody's soul this morning. What does save a soul? The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, and we read in Isaiah in the first chapter, it says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, I believe this morning I asked the question, how can I know I'm saved? We've got a world full of people that live today and they don't believe that you can know that you're saved. There are people today that are waiting to die to figure out if they're going to make it to heaven. I would hate to live my whole entire life waiting for the final drop-off date to see if I go to heaven. I'm glad that God is big enough to save a soul and let you know you're saved. I'm glad that He lets you know that there is people today that will say, well, if you live good enough, God will weigh it out on the last days. But I want you to know the Bible says that you will be found wanting in that day because you don't have the blood applied. Can I know that I'm saved? Why, yes, you can know you're saved. You know when something else is wrong with you. If you get sick, you're the first one to know it. If something happens to you physically, if I come up and kick you, well, you're going to feel the pain. You're going to know when God separates Himself from you. You're going to know that there is something inside of you that hurts worse than anything in this world and you need to do something about it. You can know when you're lost. I remember the first time that I realized that I was lost and undone without the Lord. Can you remember the day or the moment that God revealed himself and said, you're lost, you've got to be saved, and he began to draw you? I believe that's something else we can identify with. I believe that not only can we know that we're saved, we can know that we're lost. I have heard people go many years and say, well, I'm not lost. Bless your heart. Everybody in this world will become accountable for their sins one day. And someday, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow. That doesn't exclude anybody. It doesn't exclude the kings of this world. It doesn't exclude the president. It doesn't exclude anybody. Every knee shall bow and confess. Oh, I hope you don't wait until it's too late. I hope you don't wait until this world has passed away before you do something about it. And I just want you to keep that thought upon your heart this morning. Am I saved? And I don't want anyone to think that I'm picking on you, calling you a liar. I believe there's a lot of people here today that have been saved. I've heard your testimonies. But there have been a lot of people, bless their hearts, that have been deceived into thinking that they are okay. Even in our own church, that people that have been talked off an altar, they have been told that, well, do you feel better? I'm telling you that salvation doesn't make you just feel a little bit better. It makes you feel great inside. It is a complete change from the inside out. That's exactly what it is. It's not something that God comes down and he lets everybody else in the church know, well, they've been saved. A big flag doesn't shoot out of your head that says, redeemed by the blood. Now, sometimes I have seen people that will go to an altar of prayer, and I've said there's nothing greater than this joy than to watch somebody who is in deep agony, who is struggling, and they're praying, and they're calling upon the Lord, and you can almost feel the hurt within them. And then all at once, peace comes over them, and they raise up with the biggest smile on their face. You want to know why that is? Because you're hurting so bad, and all at once, the peace goes away. And I want you to know this morning that salvation is not between you and everybody else. Salvation is between you and God. If you're ever going to be saved, it's going to have to be between you and the Lord. There is no middleman today. There is no man that you have to pray to that can save you. You have to be the one to pray the prayer. God has to be the one to hear that prayer. You can pray for me all day long. You can come up here and shake my hand till both our arms fall off. But it will never, ever save you. It will do you no good to come up here and say, Brother Taylor, will you save me? Because I can't do it. God can, though, and I believe that God is here ready to save anybody that wants to be saved. That's the God that we serve. Over in 1 John chapter 3, the 7th verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sins is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brethren. And this is something that I can argue this morning as we read on. People that say they can't know that they've been saved, oh yes, you can. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The 14th verse says that we know that we have passed from death unto life. It doesn't say we may know, we could know. It says
We know that we have passed from death into life. There are things in this life that I don't know. There's a lot of things that I cannot tell you about because I don't know a thing in the world about it. If I don't know about brain surgery, there's no sense in me standing up here this morning and telling you how to do it because I would mess it up. I have no idea what it's about. But I know that I have passed from death into life because I love the brethren. I know that I've been saved. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know it too. There are people today, and I can sympathize with them, that say they're confused about their salvation. I can very much sympathize with them because I was in that shape at one point. I remember when the Lord saved my soul, and some people see lights, they see different things, they see fireworks, and whatever they do, they get up and they shout. Oh, they get up and they shout the house down, and you just know that that's one the Lord got. I didn't do that, though. And I'm not saying the people that do that are any less saved or any more saved than I am. But you want to know what you hear about when they get done shouting, what did God do for you? He gave you peace. He gave me peace. Well, I got off that bench that morning, or that night there in revival, and as soon as I did, the devil said, that wouldn't mean it. You didn't shout. You don't feel any different. There's nothing that's changed about you. But I know that I was in trouble. I knew that I was hurting, and all at once, God took it all away, and I knew I had peace. And you know what the Lord did? He robbed me of that morning, or that night. He robbed me of that time and that place that I could have gotten up and shared that with my family and told them, I've been saved. But I went on for a year and I didn't tell it. I would still go to the altar thinking that I was still lost. And I would get down and I would pray, and I couldn't a bit more pray for myself than I could fly. And I sure can't get off the ground, but I do know this. There would be many times I would spend myself praying for other people that would be praying around me, and I want them to be saved. And I thought, surely as a lost person, I can't pray for somebody else to be saved if I ain't got it. And then I remember revival was rolling back around at Pleasant Hill. And back then, revivals at Pleasant Hill were no joke. They would, on Sunday morning, get in there and they would begin to testify. And they would be shouting the house down before you ever got in the building. And I thought, I know as soon as I get back to that church, I'm going to have to go to the altar all week because that's what everybody expects from me. So I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to cry, and I'm going to have to spend all week not being able to enjoy the salvation that I've got. But then the devil would say, well, you still don't have it. You're lying to yourself. And so I got down. We were on vacation, and I got down beside my bed, and I said, Lord, I've got to know right now if you've saved my soul. I've got to know, before anything else, I've got to know right now if I've been saved. And I said, Lord, if I've been saved, show me. Show me that I've been saved. When Paul was telling them, examine yourselves, I was trying to examine myself to see if I had what I needed. And I called out and I said, Lord, I've got to know right now whether I've been saved or not. And it was all at once. He took me back to that night. And I could see the little red polo shirt I had on. I could see the khaki shorts that I had on. I could see the exact spot that I was in. I could see how I was knelt down at the altar. And you say, well, you're talking foolish this morning. Brothers and sisters, God can show you things like that. When we earnestly ask Him to show us where we stand with Him, He will show us. He will let us know, because I believe that God doesn't want any one of us to perish. And I don't believe He wants any one of us to go through this life miserable and unhappy. And you know what happens when you don't know where you stand with the Lord? You're miserable and unhappy because you think that you might be lost, and you're unhappy because you can't do anything about it, but you're not happy because your soul longs to work for the Lord, and you can't do that either until you finally get it all worked out. When Paul was telling them, examine yourselves, he wanted them to know. He said, I know there's some among you that say that you've been saved, but I want you to know that you've been saved. I want people to know that they've been saved. I don't want people to have to take my word for it or anybody else's word for it. People say, well, I'll ask people from time to time, and maybe you have too. And you'll ask, well, have you ever been saved? And they began to talk about a time when somebody baptized them, or they shook the preacher's hand, or they said the sinner's prayer. I want you to know this morning that not one of those things has ever saved anybody. I want you to know and understand this morning that if you have entered the waters of baptism, you need to have a time and a place before you ever get there. You need to know that you're saved before you ever get in there, because the water there will not wash away anything. The blood of Christ must wash away your sins. The water in a bathtub won't wash anything away from you if you don't have soap on it first. And I believe this morning that people have gotten in there with an honest heart, and they have thought, well, I've been saved. If I go in there, God will save me. But that has never saved a person. And the Bible tells us here, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. I don't want anybody here at Mount Calvary to ever be deceived. I don't want the little children that are in contact with this church, that have things to do with this church. I don't want any of your grandchildren or your children to ever be deceived by anybody. I want them to know the true way of salvation. And I believe you do too. I believe everybody that's here that's been saved by the grace of God. It says, for we know that we have passed from death unto life. We love the brethren. What happens when God saves a soul? He makes you love everybody, whether you hate them or not. There are people that I don't like too good this morning, but I still want them to be saved. I still want them to have what I have. There are people this morning that have just done me wrong, and they've no doubt done you wrong. And there's people this morning that we would love to see bad things happen to, but I want you to know this morning that God puts a love in your heart when He saves your soul. So you want those people to be saved. I want them to be saved. I believe I talked last Sunday about the man who went into the place with the Marines, and he shot them and he killed them dead. You know, that man died. He even killed himself. But you want to know something? That man still has soul. Every person has a soul. And I want to tell you this morning that salvation is not something that you might ought to have, or it would be good for you to have. You need it. You need to be saved. And you might say, well, preacher, why do I need to be saved? What have I ever done to need salvation? I don't know how many have heard about a man named Jesus Christ, but before the foundations of this world, there was a plan in place. God knew when He created this world that people would sin. He gave them the ability to do what they wanted to. He gave them free will, and He knew that they would sin one day. And He knew that there would have to be some way to get a lost people back to Him. So before this world was ever created, I believe that if we could go back in time, if we could sit in the council halls of glory, we would see that Jesus and the Father, they sat down together and they talked it out, and they said, Father, I'll go for them when they become accountable. Father, when it comes time, and we can read over in the 17th chapter of the book of John, where Jesus Christ goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and He begins to pray. And I don't know how many years had passed. I believe that we could find out very quickly if we wanted to, but it says the hour has come. The hour has come that I go to be the sacrifice for these people. And we know that there was a man named Jesus who went to the cross for you and I. And I want you to know this morning that every hammer, the hammer that hit that nail, every strike that was there, every step that He took up to Calvary's hill, every hammer strike that went into those nails was because of you and I. Jesus Christ and God the Father are the offended party this morning. They're the ones that deserve us to humble ourselves before Him and call on Him. Therefore, why must we be saved? Because we're the ones that hung Jesus Christ on the tree. Had it not been for you and I, had it not been for Adam in the garden sinning against the Lord, had it not been for all of those things, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. He didn't come to die for His own health. He came to die for you and I. And I'm so glad that He did. So if you're asking yourselves why you need to be saved, it's because you'll die and go to hell if you don't. You'll spend an eternity there and you'll never get out. Am I saved this morning? And can I know that I'm saved? I certainly believe that you can. Over in Psalms, in the 51st division, very familiar reading, I'm sure, Psalms 51 and 12, This is a Psalm of David, and I've talked a lot about knowing that you're saved. Psalms 51 and 12, I've talked a lot about knowing that you're saved. And if you're not saved, what you need to do about it. But I believe there are some times that people that have been saved lose the joy of their salvation. Now, I want to make this point very plain this morning, that I don't believe a man or a woman, child, whoever it may be, I don't believe they can lose their salvation. I believe that once a person has been saved, they are saved forever. I believe that what God does forever, He does forever. God is not slack concerning His promises, as men count slackness. What God does, He does forever. And so these people that believe you can lose your salvation, as you talk to them, you find out they've never lost it, but everybody else can. I don't believe you can lose it. I believe that if we said that you could lose your salvation, that God, every time one of us sinned and had to be saved, He'd have to walk up Calvary's hill again, hang on a cross, and die every single time that you and I sinned. But you want to know something this morning? What God done the first time was perfect, and that will stand forever. That is what is the perfect plan. It's not that it has to happen again. God would never come back and do that ever again. He done it once and it was perfect. But I do believe that people lose the joy of their salvation. I have been in those shoes. Psalm 51 and 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, there are times in your life when you begin to get cold and indifferent. And that salvation that you once had, and when you get saved, do you remember? Do you really remember what it was like when you got saved and that joy that was there? And that it just felt like it bubbled up and it would just bubble over at the drop of a hat. You could get in a song service and the singing would be really good. And all of a sudden you'd just be as happy as you had ever been. It was just like you'd just gotten saved again almost. And that joy would be there, but life begins to get in the way. Things and sin, and I believe that if we read on there with Paul, he was telling them that sometimes sin can do things to you and it can make you feel as though you're not saved. We sometimes can get to a point in our lives and so far away from the Lord that it feels like we have no salvation. But I want us to know this morning that when God saves your soul, it's saved. But I want you to know this morning, if you're here and maybe you feel a little cold and you're wondering, I want you to go back to that time and a place where God saved your soul. Now for me this morning, I really can't run myself all the way back there because I believe that sometimes we place landmarks in our lives. God does, when things happen. There are many times in my life when things have happened. I remember the day that I got saved and the night that I got saved. I just see it just as plain as day. I can see the time that God let me know that I was saved there in that hotel room in Florida. I can remember the day that God called me to preach. I can remember the day that God said, if you don't preach, I'm taking your life. I can remember the day that I told my call to preach. I remember the day that I stood for the first time and preached. I remember the first time I came here and preached. I remember the day that you all called me to be your pastor. Those are landmarks. And in between those landmarks are more landmarks where God has blessed me. But you want to know, in between those landmarks sometimes you get a little cold. Sometimes you get a little indifferent. Sometimes you begin to feel that, woe is me. Why do I not feel like I did in church once? We've lost the joy of it. What is salvation? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy may be wavering just a little bit, but it's not completely gone. Because you want to know one thing? We sang the song, the sun's coming up in the morning. Just as sure as something begins to happen in your life, God's already there taking care of it before you ever got there. The joy that we have when God saves your soul, it's something that will last your entire life. And then you want to talk about real joy when we finally get to heaven. People that today that are living in a world where people say you can't know that you're saved, they have no joy whatsoever. There's a group of people that if I walk into a group of them, I can tell exactly what kind of church that I'm in based on the facial expressions that they have. You can almost tell who they are by the way that they live. There's no joy about them at all. Why is that? It's because they have no joy. It's because they're waiting to see if they're going to make it. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad I know that I'm going to make it. I'm glad that if I leave this parking lot today and a car slams into me and takes my life, oh, I've got a better place to go because I know that I'm saved. I want you to know that you're saved. People say, well, I've got my entire life to get that all worked out. Bless your heart, no you don't. I have read in the obituaries. I have seen people. I have had friends that have passed beyond this veil of life way too early. When I was in fifth grade, there was a little boy. He had just moved to our class. And I sat beside him in math class. And his name was Corey. He was a good little... We were going to be good friends. We really were. I thought a lot of him. He was a good kid. I really liked him. Good at math, so he helped me out in math when I needed it. I remember this. And I remember the day that we heard that Corey had been thrown from his dad's car. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. They'd forgotten to strap him in, and him and his sister had gotten thrown from the car, and they died instantly. That age there, the fifth through the sixth, seventh, eighth, that's beginning to get that time when people begin to be lost. And I'm not saying there's a certain age, because there's not. People become accountable at different times. But now if Corey was lost, and I wasn't even saved at the time, and I thought about when I heard that he had died, I thought, well, if he's lost, you know where he's at. That broke my heart. Somebody that young that could have died and went to hell. It doesn't have to be somebody that's 75, 80, 90, 100 years old. It doesn't have to be that way. God calls people out of this life every single day at all ages. And I promise I'm not trying to be morbid and upsetting, but I want you to know the true facts this morning. I don't want you to think that you have just all of this time. As I was coming in, there was a church sign that says, now is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, because you're not promised tomorrow. Corey had a funeral, and in our class, we met in front of the school there at Lincoln, and they put up a marker for him that told that he had passed away. It said when he was born and when he passed away and what class he was in. And, you know, I couldn't help. And I remember this feeling because I was lost. And this really made an impact on me. But I remember standing there and I thought, all of these people keep saying that he's going to heaven. And I really hope that he did. But based off what I knew of Corey, he didn't go to a church that taught the true plan of salvation if he went anywhere. And the chances that he made it to heaven while I was standing there thinking about this were slim. And I thought, oh, how he was happy as he could be one moment. And oh, the agony that he was in the next. And I still think about that from time to time. And you might say, well, why didn't you invite him to church? He was in our class for maybe all of 2 weeks. That's all I really got to know of him. There was a young guy that I grew up with. Well, he was younger than I was, but grew up in the neighborhood that I lived in when I was younger. He was my youngest cousin's best friend. They were just inseparable when they were younger. Last year, I believe about this time, he went swimming in a creek there in Franklin, and he lost his life. Fixing to graduate high school, had his whole life before him. The kid could play baseball better than anybody that's in the major leagues today. And he lost his life, had his whole life ahead of him. But you know what the best thing about it is? He got saved. His grandmother went to New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church in Goodlettsville, and she would take him to church. And she asked him one day, she told some of our family about this, that he called her one night and was asking about being saved. He had enough confidence in her to ask what he needed to do. And she went and got him and took him out to the park there in Franklin, and they began to pray, and he got saved. You know, TC this morning is in a better place because he got saved. I believe that TC knew that he was saved because I believe that God lets us know. I was thinking about the Samaritan woman at the well. While she went up there and she had her water pots, and she was looking for water of this life. She was going for a drink of water that she needed then. She was going for something that physically she needed. But she met a man there that said, I'll give you living water. I'll give you something that will last forever. And you want to know something? She left her water pots and went running back to town because she had something. She knew that something had changed. Thought about little Zacchaeus. And I promise I'm fixing to close. Thought about little Zacchaeus. He was a publican. Heard that Jesus Christ was going to be coming through the town. heard about this man that had done all of these things. And you know what? A publican in that day wasn't somebody that everybody thought well of. It wasn't somebody that you wanted to see come knocking on your door because he was coming to get your taxes. But here he was, a man of little stature. And he runs out and he climbs up in a tree to see the Lord. Now I want you to picture this with me this morning. Jesus walks by and he looks up. And he says, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." Was it not that way when God saved your soul? Maybe you weren't sitting in the middle of a sycamore tree or whatever kind of tree that it was. But did you not feel that God let you know? Just as sure as God or Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Come down, Zacchaeus, for I'm going to your house today." God lets people today know in the heart through the Holy Spirit and the fixing up of it. David said, "My heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. Oh, my heart is fixed." When something happens, if you go to the doctor and you're sick, or if you have a broken leg, and they set it and they put it in a cast, and in a few weeks it heals, that leg's all better. You know about that. Zacchaeus come down out of that tree, and he told the Lord, he said, "I want to give everything that I've done, I want to give it back tenfold." You know what happened to Zacchaeus? His life changed. His want-to changed. No longer did he want to steal from everybody. He wanted to give everything back. That's what happens when God saves a soul. Not necessarily that you want to give everything up, but God gives, He changes your heart. He takes the stony heart that's within and changes it into a heart of love. I'm thankful that God does that. I want to read one more verse of Scripture and then I will close. But I want you to think about that this morning. Am I saved? And if you're here this morning and you've never told that you've been saved, today's the day to do that. People say, "Well, I have to have the Lord let me know when to testify." No, you don't. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If God places something upon your heart, by all means do it. But if you've got a testimony to share, you better tell it. Because the Bible says, "Be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you." When God gives you something to say, please don't hesitate. Because your testimony may touch somebody that my preaching and the preaching of the cross can't touch. You have got to be willing to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When God saves your soul, He's done something for you. You know about it. It's okay to tell about it too. I want to hear about it, and I believe there's others that want to hear about it. And I won't read it all for time's sake, but Revelation's 6th chapter and the 17th verse. And it's talking about the day that the Lord comes back. And it's talking about the things that will happen. People will be crying for the rocks and mountains to be falling upon them. And it says in Revelation 6 and the 17th verse, it says, "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Sinner friend, if you're here this morning lost, saved people, will you be able to stand on that day? When God calls, will we be able to stand and say, "Here am I, Lord. Here I am"? Or will we be one of those that will be running for the rocks and for the mountains to fall upon them? I don't know about the rest of you all, but I have never wished that a mountain would fall on top of me. But I can guarantee you when the Lord comes back and you're found in your sins, that you'll be begging and crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on you and to hide you. But you want to know the best thing? Well, for you it'd be the worst thing. But you want to know the thing about it is God knows exactly where you are. You can run, but you cannot hide. My prayer is this morning that every person here knows that they're saved. And if you don't know that you're saved, if you have any doubt at all, please work it out. This altar here at Mount Calvary is always open. It is never closed. Lost and saved people, we should utilize this altar here in this church. Saved people, we need to show lost people what we need to do here. It's okay for us to pour our hearts out there as well. If you're lost and undone without the Lord this morning, if you don't have a time and a place where God has saved your soul, and I hope that you've gone back this morning. Me and Sister Taylor were talking about before we started church this morning, talking about the old church building that she used to be in. She's, I believe it was Concord Missionary Baptist, and it burned down. Different building that they have now, but she said, "I've still got my spot." It doesn't matter where you were, no matter what it was, where it was, what you were doing. If you've been saved, you've got a spot. If you don't have one this morning, find you a spot in this church.
and seek the Lord until you're saved. May God bless you is our prayer, Brother Cole. And if we could, let's stand and have a song.